This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word.
As you guys know, we went to the Holy Lands a few weeks ago and spent 2 weeks, most of 2 weeks there. And we have a few pictures that we can, if y'all want, show at some point. We were debating whether or not, I mean, because it's really not a mission trip, or you know, it's not a ministry kind of a thing, but if you guys want to see stuff, then I can ask Trina to put that together. It was, in a nutshell, it was a really incredible trip. I very quickly realized that, especially, I mean, anybody that goes to the cemetery to get trained in ministry absolutely should go to the Holy Lands, because it opens your eyes to actually be able to see what you're reading about, what you're talking about, all that in a way that just, you can't describe it. You know, for instance, just one detail, I heard many people say, it's hard to believe how compact everything is, because it's a really tiny place. And so I knew that, but I still had no clue. I still had no sense for what does that mean, until getting there and realizing that you can stand here and 500 yards away there was some major other thing that happened there on the top of that mountain, and you know, and you're driving by, you can see one place and here's this place, and it was just there were many things that we discovered as we were there. And so anyway, if you guys want, we can do a report on that here in a few weeks as we work through those pictures. Oh, cool. Yeah, lots of fun stuff when you travel. All right, well, let's get started. I do want for us to make progress here, and I apologize. My goodness, this thing's been going on forever, but I really think that what we're talking about this morning is going to be important and helpful, practical, as we talk about the principle of the path, that your direction determines your destination. And what we've done is we've backed away from that. Okay, your destination, that's what we care about. That's where we're going to end up. Well, our direction is going to determine what destination we get to. Well, but it's really our decisions that determine our directions, and it's our thoughts that determine our decisions. So now what we're talking about are the things that affect, not control, but affect our thoughts, because that's where that all kind of begins. And so what I hope for us to do today is finish up with that stuff, or at least get mostly finished, where next week we can tie it all up in a neat bow, Lord willing. Okay? So what we've talked about so far, I didn't hear it, but I'm sure I know what you just said. We've talked about the things that influence our thoughts. We've talked about a lot of things that you can't control. So, you know, those are just there. But we've talked about we talked about friends a lot, because friends are an important aspect of that. We're going to talk about that again before we're done, I hope. We talked about music. We talked about movies. We talked about books. Now what we're going to talk about is a particular book that is particularly useful when it comes to affecting our thoughts in a really, really positive way. That, of course, would be the Bible. You guys guessed it. You're very good at this. So what I'd like for us to do is talk about the Bible and what kind of an influence it can have on us, what we can do. And I think that this is interesting, because here it is basically December now. And you know what I start doing when the new year comes along? I start thinking about, okay, well, what major strategic vision kinds of things should we be talking about? And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, hold on, what did we talk about last year? And it was this. I don't know if you guys remember or not, but the one big thing that I brought for us at the beginning of this last year was the idea, the request, the encouragement that each one of us would choose this year to read the Bible every day. At least, what was it? was it five days a week? I remember that. And I'm curious what effect it's had. I know that at least on Emily, it caused her to start reading it less because, she, you know, if I only have to do it five.
If you can't do it five, it's not even worth
it. Well, you'd said that you're reading at seven until I said that, and then you backed away to five. So it's, you know, always trying to be a good influence on folks. So I'm eager to hear that. But seriously, this idea of reading the Bible every day is really, really a major, major influence on our thoughts, our lives, everything that we do. And you ask the question, well, is it, you know, are you saying that that's more important than this other important thing, prayer or worship or whatever? No, but if you commit to and follow through with reading your Bible every day, then all these other things likely will fall into place, like prayer and worship and obedience, that kind of stuff. So anyway, reading the Bible is a really important thing. We started this year with this idea, this commitment that we would each be reading the Bible at least five times a day so that we can benefit from its work in our lives. What? Five times a day, sorry. Yeah, no, you're supposed, yeah, sorry. You would, yeah, as you're facing the east, yeah, when the guy sings the silly song out of the spinneret. Yeah. All right. Well, let's look at some scripture that talks about the benefit of the Bible. Some of my favorites are what I wanted to highlight here. Some really important things for us to understand the ministry of the scripture in our lives and how it affects our thoughts, how it does affect our thoughts, and then back away from that and see even bigger picture how it affects us with respect to our destination. So Hebrews 4:12 is a biggie, an obvious one. There are three or four passages that we're going to look at right now. Obvious passages, there are so many of them that we could talk about. These are biggies and really seem to relate to how the Word will affect our thoughts. Hebrews 4:12, anyone have that for us to read, please? Hebrews 4:12. All right. Thank you. The Word of God is living and active. It is unlike any other book. We, in fact, need to be careful and not get distracted by other books about the Bible and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's great if you guys have a devotional that you read through or books about the Bible or biblical topics or that kind of thing, but you have to remember those books aren't living and active. Only the Scripture can quicken our hearts. Only the Scripture can, through the Holy Spirit inside of us, connect us with God's Word in a way that is impossible with any other book. And so the Bible is incredibly special. It is unique among all books. Therefore, it can really have an impact on us. It's living, it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And here's what it's talking about there, of course, with this metaphor. The division of the soul and the spirit, like a scalpel, can divide between the bone joints or between a bone and the marrow, as they would have understood then. But here is the point, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. One of the things that, as I was thinking through all this stuff and commiserating with you guys about having this study continue even further, was realizing about myself that, yeah, I've read through this stuff. Crud, I'm sitting up here teaching this idea, this principle of the path. And yet, just like James talks about, and we're going to read that in a minute, it is so easy to be a hearer of the Word but not a doer. We talked about this a number of weeks ago, how that, yeah, you know, people can warn us, oh, you know, you'd better stop this, or you'd better start that, or watch out for this, or be careful with that. Say, yeah, you're so right. And yet that just goes in one ear and out the other. We don't actually change. And what I'm so afraid of is that we've gone through this study and we feel smarter or we feel relieved that it's over or something, and yet we're still the same. We're still going in the same direction. We've been warned, but we're still on the same path. And that right there is my heart's concern about myself and about us that we won't hear. And here in this Hebrews passage, the Scripture talks about itself being able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, to expose us to the truth, the truth about our direction, the truth about our destination, if we don't change. And so for us, reading Scripture is going to be huge, that we can have its action in our life, because it is living and active. Any thoughts or comments about that passage? One of my favorites.
Drainage issues, so forgive me, but 17:9, where it says that above all things, the human heart is deceptive.
Yeah. So
we can't even ourselves know our own intentions and judge ourselves. We need the Word of God to do it, because we will deceive ourselves. Oh, yeah. I don't really do that, or I'm not that bad, or
I'm not that bad. Or, yeah, it's yeah, not that I, big I, of a deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's a good word, hon.
The Lord will speak to you through His Word.
Yeah. Yeah, and yet we still have to listen, though. We can sit there and have the Holy Spirit pounding us in our hearts. Here's the truth. Listen, listen, be careful, pay attention, change, repent. And yet we can choose not to. We can choose to ignore Him in our lives and keep going, keep right on going. Next passage that I want us to look at here is, I think, a neat one, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I'll read it. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. I thought that was really encouraging. Once again, pointing toward the word and its work in our lives, that it will perform its work in you who believe. Another passage along the same lines that you guys know, Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. Praise God for that. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire. This is God speaking, of course, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Amen. So let's let God's word do its work. James 1, if you guys want to turn there. And I'll tell you, over the last weeks, as I've been seeing over and over again, so many different passages in James just come alive and come out as so practical. I'm just amazed. James 1:21 is where we're going to start here, a really important passage that we've already referenced earlier. I'm thinking, by the way, about the possibility of doing a study through James starting in this next January time frame. It would take a while, I'll warn you. It wouldn't be a single Sunday lesson. Yeah, they're all... But it is so stinking practical. It is so practical in so many ways. And so I'm really thinking that an exegetical study through James would be very different from what we usually do in here. We so often have topical studies. In fact, nearly always have topical studies. But unless God gives me topics, then that's my plan. All right? Just FYI. James 1, 21 would, let's see, let me just, I'll read through this because I want to emphasize some stuff as we go through. Therefore, putting aside, we'll go through 27. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. We're going to come back to that. That right there is key when we talk about the Bible and its work in our lives. In humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves, as Trina mentioned a moment ago, who deceive themselves, who make them, you know, you read the word, you think, woohoo, I did it. And yet it didn't have a single impact on our lives. And we walked away exactly the same as when we started. And that right there is, well, ridiculous. Let's read on. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man or woman who looks at his or her natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. It was a checkbox. And the danger that we have as Christians, especially those of us who have been Christians for a while, one of the dangers is just having things as a checkbox without allowing them to affect our lives and change us. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. We'll stop there, as it turns out. A forgetful hearer or an effectual doer? That's the question. And as I said a moment ago, my greatest fear about this study is that we will leave it having been, checkbox, read it, heard it, check, and yet exactly the same as we were, exactly going in the same direction as we were with the same destination. And I think as we discussed early on, some of those destinations that we were headed for weren't good, weren't going to be good outcomes. But let's go back here. We want to focus on verse 22. Now, as we read these passages, every single one of them showed us that God's word helps us know what to think, how to think. And so that's where it fits on our outline, right? It influences our thoughts. It changes the way that we think. So that's good. But let's back up, get a big picture of what God's word can do. And this next passage is just really, and we're going to get back to verse 22, trust me. This next passage is one that we all know, and once again, a danger of knowing, there are a few verses in the scripture that probably all of us just completely ignore because we know them so well. This is probably one of them. In Psalm 119, verse 105, we've sung the songs, we've quoted it, we've read it so many times, I don't think that we actually ever think about it, but if you put it in the context, the big picture context of our study, wow, this is perfect, because what does it say? Thy word, David talking to God, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So doesn't it fit? Yeah, so the big picture of God's word is, it helps us with the destination. It helps us achieve God's destinations for us. It helps us to avoid our own mistaken destinations. So big picture, God's word fits in right there. But the question is, how do we apply this? How do we make it so that it is able to have its full effect? So that, it says it's there in Hebrews, it's living and it's active. Yes, it is. But how? How does it change us? How can we read it in such a way and use God's word in such a way that it changes our lives? And that hopefully is an important question. Let's talk about the answer to that, what I believe is the right answer. The first step for us is, of course, to read. We've talked about that. We began the year with that. Reading it every day, that is an absolutely necessary first step. But that's not enough to get the full effect. That's not enough. Two more things are required for us to really, really, really allow God's word to have its fullest, greatest impact on our lives. Memorization is step two, where we actually memorize it, make it a part of our lives. And it's crazy how, something that just hacks me off so bad. Every time somebody plays 80s music or Pink Floyd or any of the other stuff that I used to listen to 40 years ago, the double album Pink Floyd's The Wall, I can quote the entire thing, start to finish, 2 hours worth of music, word for word. And yet, how much scripture do I know? Yes, you in the front. Oh, that's awesome.
And it really is. I mean, literally, find, there's a lot of music. There's a lot of music that is just Bible.
Yes. Handel's Messiah.
And find it and sing it. You will remember it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so help for memorization is to sing it, find music that is biblical, scripture songs. That's a great way to memorize it. But memorize it. I pray someday that I can compete. My brain has enough scripture in it to where it's even close to as much of all the other music that I can memorize, that I can remember the words from. Memorization, though, is really, really important, because without it, the next step is much more restrictive. You can only do the next step with your Bible open unless you have the scripture memorized, and that is meditation on scripture. When people in Baptist churches talk about meditation, oftentimes all the flaky weirdo stuff and people come to mind instead of just a basic a basic principle or concept. There's nothing weird about meditating. You don't have to, you know, well, anyway, there's nothing weird about that. Meditating on scripture is just a really simple process that if we were to do it, we would unlock the power of God's word in our lives in a way that we have never, ever seen before. For us to understand it, for it to become alive for us to really, really get the full clarity or meaning as much as we can, right? I suggest we probably never can get it all here on this side of heaven. But far greater than any other thing that you can do with the scripture. And so how do you do that? Well, you start by reading it. Then you memorize it. You find something that God uses in your heart to touch your life and memorize it. And as you are memorizing it, to begin meditating on it simply means that you are just repeating it over and over, emphasizing particular words, thinking about particular each word one at a time, to understand what that means, then putting it all together. And to use a crude metaphor for that will help you, it is exactly the same thing as what cows do to their food. Because they have, what, 117 stomachs? And you know, from the time they eat it to the time it comes out the other end is like 6 or 8 years. I don't know. I just made all that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that there are two things to that. One is age, but the other, and I'm sorry, Monica, that was not that you're old, but I am. Well, there is. First of all, age changes the way that our brain works, but here's the thing that is probably more true, a bigger impact than the age, and that is practice. A lack of discipline in our minds gets worse and worse and worse, to the point that it is incredibly difficult to reverse it.
And so, just learning stuff too, you know, because some people just memorizing comes very easy.
Rote,
yeah. But for others, it even my children, it, you know, Alana's was huge challenge sometimes because a couple of them could not retain things very well for, you know, long periods. And so I think a lot of it just has to do with the wiring of our brain.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with that at all, because I'm sure that's true. I will say that I think anyone can, with discipline and practice, do it, no matter their learning style and no matter their age. And I think that if we were to just begin doing it and discipline ourselves, we would be able. And I've heard of people who had the kinds of challenges that we're talking about, that as they began memorizing scripture, that it became easier and easier and easier. Because I do believe that part of it is the discipline of doing it. Yeah, yeah. And so I think that this is something that we can all do. And for some of us, it's going to be harder. And for some of us who haven't done it or haven't been doing it for a long time, it's going to be harder. But for any of us, it's the thing to do. And why do I say that? Well, because James, back up here in 1:22, when he said, in verse 21, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now, why is that so important? That phrase right there is really, really important. What's the impact of it to save your souls? Just previously in that same verse, he had talked about how that, in Hebrews 4 that we had read a few moments ago, it's sharper than God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, That right there, you have to be careful with that, because a lot of people disagree with how the Bible talks about soul and spirit, mind, will, emotion, all those different things. But because of the way that that verse ends about your intentions of the heart, it is clear, at least to me, that when it talks about dividing between the soul and spirit, it helps you to discern between what is your way, your thoughts, your flesh, your nature, your everything about you, and that it helps see the difference between that and what is from God. And so that is what God's Word is able to do. And that, now back in James, where he says that receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. That is talking about sanctifying what is us to be more and more godly. So whatever he just said right there is able to sanctify us, to work on us, to make us righteous, to make us more like Jesus. But what and so the question is, what does he say will do that? By receiving with humility the implanted word. That word right there, implanted, is the word that you would use if you were a tree person, an arborist, and you were wanting to graft a new something onto another something. For instance, all the fruit trees that you buy, every single fruit tree you buy at the store, is a mass, it's a Frankenstein of a tree, because none of it came out the way that it's that it is when you bought it. They get a great rootstock. Let's talk about an apple tree. I don't know what type of apple has the best rootstock, the strongest rootstock, but there is one, and that's what they would have a field growing lots of those trees. They're not growing them for the apples, they're growing them for the roots, for the trunk. And what they do in another field is they have some delicious apples and some Jonathan apples and some Granny Smith apples and all these things growing some, you know. But the problem with those is that if you just let them grow, they're going to be weak trees. They're not going to produce a whole lot. And what they do is they then cut the top branches off those Granny Smith. Thank you. Yeah. they cut the tops off of those, the top branches off of those, and they go over to the field where they have all that great rootstock growing, and they cut the tops off of those, and they literally make a V on the bottom of the top stuff, and they cut a V out of the bottom part of the tree, and they cram it in there so it fits just perfectly, and then they wrap it up so that great rootstock can feed those great producing branches. And that's grafting in a nutshell. This verse right here, this word right here, is talking about that exact same thing. James is telling us that we should graft into our lives God's word. And the way that you do that is through meditation. That is the way. And what's the outcome? Well, it's going to save your soul. It's going to make you become more and more like Jesus. And so this idea of scripture reading, memorization, and meditation will change us. Will change us. And by the way, we talked about folk that aren't able to memorize easily. Many of us would be in that boat, even if 30, 20, 50 years ago, whatever, we might have been really great at it. Many of us are not disciplined now in that skill.
When you say memorization, I mean, you're wrong, but like James 1:22, do you need to remember the James 1:22?
You don't have to, it helps. The reason it helps is not for your sake, but if you, one of the things that'll happen as you memorize scripture is that you'll be talking to somebody and they'll say something and they'll say, oh man, I was just thinking about this passage just this morning, and here's what it says. Well, where is that? That's awesome. I want to read it myself. That's why it matters. Not nearly so much. I mean, it's not inspired, right? So who cares? But it does help point other people toward it. Good question.
I had that experience this past week. I asked God to pray for my friend Craig, who's in pretty advanced stage of cancer, and he was having a really important test, and God just
scripture, and I had to look it up. Like, I knew the scripture, but I didn't know the reference, and I had to look it up. She's not actively in church, and so I wanted to be able to give it to her with some reference, you know. So I looked it up and texted it to her, and she was so taken aback by it, and ended up using it as. I was just blown away because she ended up using it as a post on Facebook that day to say, you know, a friend of mine sent this to me this morning, and it's Romans about having hope, about the God of hope, you know, and it just. But I knew the scripture, but I had to look it up to know where it came from.
So that's why it's useful, but it's not necessary. Now, what I was getting at a moment ago, for those of us who aren't really in the mode of being disciplined to memorize scripture effectively, I said a while ago that memorization was a step, necessary step for the third part, which was meditation, right? Reading, memorizing, meditation. But the only reason it's necessary is because if you don't have your Bible in front of you, you can't really meditate on a verse you don't have it memorized. But if you do have your Bible and you're not good yet at memorizing them, then you can meditate on a scripture with the open Bible right in front of you and get exactly the same benefit. And shocker, when you're done, wow, I memorized that in the process, because you spend so much time focused on it that would be just a side benefit, right? And so how do you, just to remind you again, maybe let's make it practical. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. If I were going to meditate on that passage, then what would I do? Well, if I had it memorized, I'd do this in my brain. If I didn't have it memorized, I'd have my Bible open, and I would just start looking at it. I would read through it a few times, just read it, and then read it again, read it again, read it again. And then after I'd done that, I would start going through it word by word for the Word of God. Well, what is the Word? You know, what does that mean? Well, it's, you know, I've got it right here in front of me, and the Word of God. Well, that reminds me of 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And so I would kind of connect those as I meditated through there. And then it's living. What does that mean? What does it mean that it's living? Well, no other book I know of is living. What does that mean? What does that mean? And then to think of other passages that would suggest that same thing. And what does it mean that it's active? Living and active. What does that mean together? And to go through word by word, phrase by phrase, putting it together, connecting it with other scripture, allowing yourself to, and this seems kind of artificial because, you know, here I am in front of all you guys doing it, but if I were by myself doing that, meditating through that scripture, a few things would happen. I would begin to connect with other verses and see how they relate in maybe ways that I would have never expected otherwise. I will begin to see new insights into it. It will become alive, and I'll probably end up memorizing it in the process as well. So anyway, so hopefully that gives you a picture of what we're talking about here, how to really position ourselves in the best way possible so that we can get the greatest impact or effect, benefit out of God's Word. Because it is really important.
Do you remember when Jerome, who was our Israeli tour guide, he was telling us how, unlike all the other nations around them, they were the only, Israelis were the only ones that were literate. It was very important for their children to know scripture, to read. They had to read. I think that ties in with what you're saying.
That's a good point.
And I didn't realize that all the other nations were not literate.
Yeah, good point. Well, there you have it, God's Word. Meditating on it, memorizing it, of course, reading it. A couple more things as we, we have great opportunity here to make some progress. Any questions, any thoughts about God's Word as an influence on our thoughts, or God's Word, bigger picture, an influence on our path, our direction? That's awesome. So often I look at you guys as an example many ways, and I think that the destination that you're creating by choosing that direction, by the decisions that you've made, set that direction, the destinations are incredible. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. One more thought on this, and then we'll move on to, were you going to say something, Kitty?
I have a really practical question.
Yeah, please.
Getting your car,
put it on your mirror.
Sticky notes from years.
That's awesome. That is so practical. And where is it, right? Where is it that you spend time looking?
Yep.
And so you're looking at your windshield so much. So you could put something right there, right? I mean, yeah. But you could put it like up here in the corner. Yeah. Thy word is a lamp unto. Oh, good point. Yeah, thank you, Emily. I didn't even think to help you memorize one of the great steps. And by the way, not typing, but writing. Typing something doesn't have nearly the positive effect on memory as does writing. Good point, Emily. All right, here is one more thought about this, just because I forgot to mention this earlier. There are lots of great times. Any time of the day or night is a great time to be in the Word, great time to memorize, great time to meditate. But there is one time that is the best of all. And I heard a number of people say morning. No, that's not it. At night, as you are falling asleep, you're laying in bed, you're about to fall asleep, the best thing that you can do with your brain in those last moments of awakeness is for you to be meditating on Scripture. You'll be shocked at what happens if you do that. You will be shocked. Some of the things that will happen is that that will be in your brain all night. Oftentimes you'll wake up thinking about it. And wow, what a great thing to do to immediately, before, without having to say, okay, what am I going to, let me think about some Bible verse this morning. No, it just happens automatically so often when you went to sleep. It will change your dreams in some very interesting ways, both for the good and initially often for the bad. I'll warn you. Well, so let me commend to you. Meditate on Scripture as you're going to sleep. See what happens. See what happens. I would love in a few weeks for someone to come in here and say, you would not believe what is happening as a result of that discipline. And I wouldn't be surprised. All right. So here are a couple more thoughts. We're going to get to such a happy place here. Okay. I don't have any scripture for this. I just wanted to throw it in as something else that can influence positively your thoughts. And that is for you to consider listening to sermons. I don't know who your favorite preacher is, but you probably have one or two or maybe three. Well, we have the technology, right? We're in a different world than we were 20 years ago. I remember having to search for a distant radio station to be able to listen to Chuck Swindoll or something like that, But we have today, and I will say, Apple has unwittingly, contributed to this, that there, there are repositories of, I would suggest that you may be able to listen to most preachers' sermons. Yeah, whatever. So consider subscribing to podcasts from two or three of your favorite preachers. That will give you great stuff to listen to. If you ever wonder, gosh, what could I be listening to right now that would be positive, helpful, etc., that's it. Sermons it would be great. And I, I'll commend to you a couple that I listen to. Andy Stanley has two of them. He actually has three of them. He also has a leadership podcast that's good. And then the Daily Audio Bible is one where you not only, if you listen to it, you'll go through the entire Bible each year, but he also oftentimes will comment on pretty good practical applications as well. So those are some ideas. What other ideas, real quick? Throw out your favorites. Francis Chan?
Mark.
Yes. Who?
Mark Rutland.
Mark Rutland. And what was? Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, Ravi Zacharias. So there are some great ideas. Keep throwing them out to each other as we talk through this. But anyway, that's just something I want to remind you of. Think of the opportunities that we have today that we didn't have years ago to listen to great sermons. We are perfectly configured for next week being the last week on this study. So there you go.